This lesson is entitled Leading Your Adult Class to Spiritual Maturity with Jerry Furso. Jerry Furso serves as associate pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church, where he directs the soul winning and outreach ministries. This lesson is a part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
I don't know about you, but I love growth. I really do, except for physical growth. I'm against that. But I love growth, and it's exciting, to see it spiritually in my own life. It's a joy to see it in other people's lives. We have two grandbabies, my grandchildren. Abby is almost 2.5 years old, and Allie's 9 months old. And I tell you what, as a grandfather now, I look back, I kind of forgot those early stages in the lives of our kids. But boy, they just kind of bring back those memories and just waves of emotion. And I'm so thankful as I look at those little girls just growing and making those steps of growth. Man, they're exciting. I remember as a kid measuring myself against the wall all the time and just, just marking my growth patterns there. And I tell you what, I love growth. If I plant something, I can't wait till it breaks through the ground and you begin to see that little plant taking root. And growth is exciting. I tell you what's really exciting is when someone's life is changed by the power of the gospel and by the word of God. And as we look at leading classes and individuals to spiritual maturity, I think what the verse says in Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 11 and 12, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For this reason, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. The church has been given a gift, and it's, the pastor and teachers, and for what reason? For the perfecting or the maturing or the completing of God's people. I tell you what, if there's anything frustrating is when you see something that's not growing. Our first granddaughter, she's just a little peanut. When she was born, she was only 5 pounds and just a couple ounces. And boy, she just had some growth problems there. We didn't see the growth and the weight gain that, as parents, that you wanted to see. And so my wife was trying to, give some insight into my daughter. And you make sure you're feeding her right. And, you're doing this and this. And she's like, yeah, Mom, I'm doing all that. And so she, guess what? We didn't just say, well, it's going to come. You know what we did? Because we were concerned. We took little Abby to the doctor. And they began running tests. We weren't just going to see that growth not taking place. And, in due time, it's going to take place. No, we were proactive in the area of just seeing what can we do or what could they do as mom and dad to see Abby grow. And I pray that as we look at our classes, as we look at adults in our churches, that we would have that passion, that same urgency in seeing adults grow in the Lord. I think in our churches, we're really good at seeing children grow spiritually. Yeah. I mean, we have vacation Bible school, we have junior camp, and we have all these different activities for the kids. And then as they graduate into the teen ministry, and boy, we have great opportunities for the teens and growth opportunities for them. And boy, we want to see the teenagers grow. But it's amazing, once they graduate from high school, how things seem to kind of pull over to the side. And we don't put the emphasis in the singles and into married couples and in the area of growth. But I pray that we would kind of have that heart be rekindled and seeing people to grow in the Lord. So what I would like to do for the next few moments is just share with you some 7 principles that has helped me to see couples in our classes and throughout our ministry grow to spiritual maturity. And I pray that it be a help to you. First of all, it starts with this. It starts with the teacher. The teacher must be committed to personal growth. We've heard this saying before, everything rises and falls on leadership. And in our adult ministries, there's a class leader, and that leader needs to be setting the example of being committed to their own personal growth. In other words, as I lead my class, I need to make sure that I'm growing as an individual. Now, I know that's a statement that we always hear, we need to keep growing. But at leaders, we need to step aside and say, okay, am I growing? What area is God growing in me right now? What lessons have I learned recently that have really, made me go up a few notches in my spiritual walk with the Lord and ministering to people? What books have I read? How have I been growing myself spiritually? We need to realize that growth is very practical. It's not this magical thing. It's something that we need to roll up our sleeves and we need to really get involved in our own personal growth. It's vitally important for us to be committed to personal growth. Couple areas. Number one, we need to be modeling the right manner. We need to be modeling the right manner before our classes and before our couples or singles or whatever type of class you are leading. The Bible says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Paul was saying, hey, listen, yes, we imparted unto you the gospel, we preached the word of God, but not only that, but you watched our lifestyle. You watched our manner of life. And I pray that what we are teaching is being matched up by how we're living. I grew up in the generation where I heard my dad say this, "Do as I say, not as I do." I grew up that way. I was raised in a Christian home, so when my dad would drink, he'd say, "Now, son, now don't you do this when you grow up." And as he drank his beer, and as he smoked his cigarettes, he said, "Now, son, don't you do this. You learn from me not to do this." And boy, it was a message I had. Well, Dad, you don't want me to do it. Why are you doing it?
Yep.
And so it was a mis signal that he was sending to me as his son. But I pray that spiritual leaders, that we are living the right example before our class members.
Amen.
And I tell you what, they watch us all the time. If you want me to say it this way, you're on the platform 24/7. They're just looking at you, they're watching you, they're observing you, how you're dealing with different people. They're watching if you have a grace-filled speech, if they're watching if you lose your temper and be a little bit rough with somebody. We need to make sure that we are modeling the right example. We need to be living or at least making strides in the areas that we're teaching on. I don't know how many times have I been studying my lesson and preparing my lesson, and I think, man, I need to grow in this area. Man, this area has been a little slack in my life. And boy, that God uses that in my life and begins to convict me of where I'm at in that particular area. Boy, it'd be hard to talk about forgiveness if I have a heart of bitterness towards someone. We need to make sure that as leaders that we are growing constantly. And I'll tell you what, here at Lancaster Baptist Church, we have a great example in that, and that's our pastor.
Amen.
Just a few moments ago in that last session, you heard him say he's read this year, I think he said, 30 books. You know what that tells me? That he's growing.
Yeah.
There's a commitment in his heart that he wants to grow, and he's on that path of, he has not arrived in his mind, and boy, he's not on cruise control, he hasn't put it in neutral. But he's pressing on to that higher
amen.
Ground.
Yeah, amen.
And you want to know something? As leaders, we need to have that same attitude. We need to realize that we still need to grow. And so we need to be modeling the right manner. I love what Paul wrote to Timothy in chapter number 3, verse number 10. "Thou hast fully known my doctrine and manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience." Man, I love that. And I wonder today, if our classmates were to walk in to our classroom this coming Sunday, and if they had to take a little survey about us as their leaders, how would they score us? Would they score, boy, his message matches up with his lifestyle. Well, we need to make sure we're modeling the right manner. Number two, to let it be, they're mirroring the right message. How many remember going to the carnival when you were younger? Now they had those funny mirrors. You'd see somebody that might be, a biscuit away from 400 pounds, and they would get in front of that mirror and they look like they're about 95 pounds. You remember those things? Or or someone real small and they were, man, they're real tall. And, you know, those mirrors weren't really reflecting the true image. And I pray that as our message that we are sharing and that we are teaching, I pray that we are mirroring the right message from the Word of God. It is vitally important that we, it doesn't really matter what we think, it's thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
What does God say about marriage? What does God say about childbirth? What does God say about forgiveness? And boy, we need to look into God's Word and we need to impart the truth of God's Word. Because we know this, the Word of God is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing asunder. We need to realize, well, we need to share the truth of God's Word.
Yeah.
So not only do we need to be modeling the right manner and mirroring the right message, but let us see they're ministering with the right motive. Ministering with the right motive. Why are we teaching in class? Why are we leading that adult group? Is it so that we can say, I'm a teacher, or, you know, I'm a leader of this group? Hopefully it's 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, you do it all for the glory of God.
Amen.
Let me give you a couple of thoughts. Just, I don't think this is in your notes, so you may have to write these down. As class leaders, now there's some senior pastors in here that raised their hand, but this lesson's geared a little bit right now. This point is to maybe a lay leader, maybe an assistant pastor that is helping their pastor maybe in the area of starting a class. So I want you to think about this. As a class leader, you are an extension of the pastor's ministry. And we got to understand that. In other words, when I teach my adult class, guess what I am? That's not my opportunity, my arena to share, you know, my vision, my heart, and my burden that I got. You know why I'm there? Because Pastor Chappell couldn't be in that room at every moment. And all I'm doing is I'm standing in his place. And I need to realize that as I'm teaching that class, may I say this, as I even teach this session right here, Pastor couldn't be here right now, so he asked me to do this. All I am is an extension of his ministry.
Amen.
And we need to realize that. We don't want to, you know, have different churches within the church.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
There's only one pastor here.
Right.
For us, it's Pastor Chappell. Now, we're just an extension of him, and so we need to have that understanding in our heart that as I stand and teach my class, I'm just an extension of his ministry. Number two is this, we are not competing with his Sunday morning message. Now, this is what I had to learn this in my early years. We were downtown at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard, and we didn't have a lot of facilities back there, so in the main auditorium, we had three adult classes. There was, you know, Pastor had the main section, and there was a curtain pulled, and I had a class on the other side of that curtain, and Brother Hauk had a class on the other side of the other curtain over there, and for whatever reason, I got excited every time I taught. I clapped my hands, I stopped my foot sometimes. And all of a sudden, about 2 weeks of doing that, I was, you know, fired up about my message, and I'm, you know, clapping my hands and stomping my foot, and all of a sudden, there was a foot. There was a curtain right here, and a foot came out and kicked me. It's amazing, because I recognized that shoe. And that shoe was my pastor's shoe. And afterwards, as we went back into his office before we started the service, after Sunday school, he said, now listen. He said, I know you're excited. I know that you're excited about teaching and about your lesson, but every time you clap, every time you stomp your foot, everybody in my class looks at you. And he said this, lesson number one I learned. You are not in competition with the preaching that takes place here at Lancaster Baptist Church.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean that you can't get excited about what you're teaching. But what I am saying is this, that is not my time to be preaching. Now, some of it may come out, okay? But it's not there. That's not the purpose of our adult Bible classes. The purpose of our adult Bible classes is to teach the Word of God in a very practical way to give people really some handles on how they ought to live their life. Number three there. Here is another third thought. It is my responsibility as a class leader to endure the hearts of my class members to their pastor. I am not there to endure the hearts of those couples to me. My responsibility as an extension of his ministry is to endear their hearts to their pastor. And of course, what pastor does, he reflects that to the Lord. But that's my responsibility. Well, how do I do that? Well, as a class, we remember his birthday. As a class, we remember their anniversary. At Christmas time, we do stuff for them. I encourage the children within our class, the parents' children, to write their pastor notes. In our class, pastor may have a quote, and I'll say, "Well, I remember pastor saying this." So I want to make sure, with my best ability, that I'm not sending out any type of missed signals. Amen. I want to make sure that those couples within our class know one thing, that I am 100,000% behind the pastor of the church.
Amen.
And as class leaders, we need to make sure we're doing that all the time. And it's just a vitally important part of leading adult classes. Number four is this, we must be totally loyal to the pastor and what God has laid upon his heart. Our loyalty never should be questioned. Never. And these are just helpful reminders regarding the motive in our ministry, in our service. Now, bottom line, we ought to do it unto the Lord. And we recognize that God's going to bless and honor what we do for his glory and for his honor. Number two, the teacher must be communicating the truth practically. The teacher must be communicating the truth practically. I'm not sure who quoted this or made this statement, but it's been in my mind and heart for many, many years. Teaching is the transfer of truth. How many of you have heard that before?
No.
Teaching is the transfer of truth. Okay, let's all say that together, ready?
Teaching is the transfer of
truth. Okay, in other words, if I'm just teaching, but if you're not learning, guess what? Teaching is not taking place. Teaching is when I have a truth and I want to pass it to the next guy, and Pastor Schaller over here, he receives that. Now he's got it. He's embraced it. Now he says, okay, I'm going to start living this now. I've learned this. Now it's mine. Now what he's going to do, he's going to pass it down to the next guy. He's going to teach it to him. That's what teaching takes place, is when we are transferring the truth of God's word. And so it's really not just going through an outline. It's not just filling in all the blanks. Okay, teaching is when you are transferring truth. And that truth then is understood, that truth has been applied, and that truth, most of all, is able to be lived out in their daily life. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want to see take place in the lives of the couples I minister to. Man, I want to see them take the truth of God's word and then start living it out on a daily basis, and where they are growing and becoming more into the image of Christ. So as we think about teaching as the transfer of truth, think about this. If we accept this definition about teaching as transfer of truth, we are making several important affirmations. First of all is this. There is a such thing as God's truth.
Amen.
Now think about the culture that we live in today. Our culture says there's no absolutes. Everything is relativism. Well, it might be right for you, but it's not right for us. It's not right for me. But we need to realize what the Word of God says. The Word of God says in John 17, verse number 17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. We need to be convinced. We need to have that in our heart, in our soul, the conviction that the Word of God is truth. And we can know this truth. We can experience this truth. And we ought to share this truth with others. People can receive this truth and apply it. And may I say this? They can be changed by the truth of God's Word.
Amen.
Now, when we are also accepting, when we accept these affirmations in our heart, we're also accepting some serious obligations. Okay, let me give you, if you write these down, okay, these are add-ons, okay? A couple thoughts right here. Number one is this: we must be growing in truth ourselves. It's a commitment of, you know, I've got to be studying and growing in truth myself. Number two is that we must experience truth personally. In other words, it's not even just something maybe we read out of a book, or even something we just read out of God's Word, but it's something that we've read it, but now we're experiencing it. We are now actually living out the Word of God in our daily life. The Bible says, let us not be hearers of the Word. Let's not just be hearers of the Word, but we need to be what?
Doers.
We need to be those that are performers, or ones that are living out the truth of God's Word. We must know, this number three is this, we must know the people we're ministering to so that we can apply the truth to their lives and to their needs. We're going to dig a little deeper on that little point right there. We must know the people we're ministering to so that we know better how to apply the truth to their needs. And we must grow in our love for the truth and our knowledge of it so that our class might increase in their depth and in their, what I call just their, a deeper walk with the Lord, just having a holy lifestyle. As we think about the transferring of truth, just two simple thoughts. Number one is this. When I'm preparing my lesson, I always think of this. What do I want them to know? In other words, what facts, what biblical background, what people, characters in that story or that lesson, what facts do I want them to walk out with? We could call this might be the theme of your lesson. When people read, they ought to say, okay, what was all that about? You know, and sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, but I'll say, how was class this morning? You know, that story you told. No, that story was great, you know. But I'm thinking, that's all you got? I don't know about you, but last night, I think I got the theme of the message.
Amen.
I think the whole thing was, let's strive together.
Amen.
And there's a great reason to strive together. It's because of the gospel. Amen. And so, you know, you see that theme there. And we need to look at, okay, what do I want our people as they leave our classes, what do I want them to know? This could be like the big idea, the clear, concise statement, you know, say, okay, this is what the lesson's all about. But second of all is this, what do I want them to do? Knowledge puffed up. I want to make sure that, boy, as those commuters come into our class and those people that are just, I mean, they're tired, they had a long week, and boy, maybe they're just, man, they just made it to class, they're just glad they're there. I want to make sure that I kind of put the food right on the bottom shelf there so it's easy for them to grab hold of it so they say, oh, I could do that. Man, I could take that and I could practice that this week in my life. So we want to make the lesson not only, you know, it's practical so they can put handles on it so they can live that truth out. That's what the Bible says in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what does Paul say? Do. Live those out then. Number three, the teacher must be connected to the people. The teacher must be connected to the people. Now, how can we do that? Let me give you a couple thoughts regarding this. This is very practical now. Number one is this. Spend time with your people or your couples. I teach a couples class. So what I need to do, I need to spend time with our couples. I love what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:19. I will come shortly to you. Galatians 4:20. I desire to be present with you now. What's Paul saying here? Paul's saying, man, I want to spend time with you. Man, I want to be with you. And it's important, listen, teaching for us here at Lancaster Baptist Church is not something we just do from, you know, 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. It's not just filling that, you know, 45-minute slot where we're just teaching the Word of God. And we need to get down to where our people are at.
Amen.
Do you realize that this world is just pulling our people in every different direction? And boy, they're getting battled, they're getting hit from every front. And boy, we need to get down where they're at, and we need to know how their hearts are beating, and we need to know the burdens that they're carrying, and we need to know, you know, the fears that they're facing, and we need to realize the only way we're going to really have an understanding of that is by just spending time with them. And you're not going to be able to do that, honestly, on just Sunday morning. Because on Sunday morning, all you're going to do is say, hey, brother, it's good to see you, brother Doug. Glad you're here. Hey, glad you're in class this morning. Hey, Glenn, good to see you. Man, we're so glad. I've been praying for you this week. Good to see you. Hey, a Steelers fan. Oh, I don't want to shake your hand. And we think, well, okay, I've done ministry. I shook a few hands. Listen, you didn't do diddly squat. You didn't minister to anyone. Well, you need to spend time with them. And it's hard. Even in our own lives, everything is pulling on us, but we need to make sure that we make that commitment to have time with our people. Letter B. How can you do that? Here it is. Have them in your home. Have them in your home. Let's all say that together. Ready?
Have them in your home.
An open home reveals an open heart. That's amazing. When I was a youth pastor, I'd have teenagers in my home all the time. I mean, it's just my wife and I, and we'd have them over all the time. We'd have hot dogs, we'd have pizza, play games. You know, and after a while, it seems like, man, you know, are these our kids? I mean, do they ever go home? But they were always there. But it's amazing when I made that transition from working with teens to adults, the thought really never crossed my mind to have adults home. Hey, just like, you know, adults. I mean, what do you do with adults? I mean, you don't eat hot dogs with adults. You don't play games with adults. What do you do with adults, you know? And I remember Pastor pulling me aside, lesson number two. He said, listen, he said, you got some new couples coming into the church here. What you need to do is have them over in your home. What do I do with them? He said, use this fellowship. You talk. You listen. This past Sunday, we had five couples into our home and had a time of fellowship. And it was week before last, not this past Sunday. We had them over there, so we have fellowship with a purpose. Maybe you want to write that down. You fellowship with a purpose. In other words, I don't just have people over that are all my close, good buddy friends and just fellowship. I'll have a couple of those guys over for a purpose to help me with the newer Christians. So we have two families over that are grounded, settled in God's word, more they're faithful. One of the men and his wife was one of the first families I reached here. Had him over, another family reached, and then three other families that were kind of, two of them we haven't reached yet, and one that is just really... been a member, I think, for about a year. So we had them in our home. There was one family that they hadn't gotten, I led them to Christ back in January, a commonly family, but hadn't seen them get baptized yet. Boy, just been working with them. They were just really struggling with just the concept of just making a change religiously. Well, then I began to wonder, you know, are they really saved? And then I questioned him out there, and he said, oh, I'm saved. And I went through scriptures with both him and his wife and his two kids. What did he say? No, I remember doing that with you. We prayed together, and we all got saved. So finally, we have a pool in our backyard, and as we were wrapping up our fellowship, and I told him, I said, now, Tom and Ann, Jonathan, Benjamin, I said, we have a pool right here. I said, we give you two options. And I said, either you're going to get baptized right now, or you're all going to get baptized on Sunday. I said, it's up to you. And they all started laughing. Now, listen, I said that, of course, in a joking way. But it's been after probably 10 visits to their home. Numerous letters. Spending time with them. And they both looked at me and their two boys. The boy says, hey, we're ready. Dad's shaking his head. So I said, Ann, how about you? She said, I'm ready. You know what we did, though, is we sat in the backyard. It was about 11 o'clock at night. With four other couples. And we just talked about life. We talked about struggles. We talked about victories. God began to work in their heart, and they began to see and really comprehend what this ministry is about. So it's important. What is, when you open up your home, the Bible says, you know, give it to hospitality. What does that mean? Let me give you a couple thoughts. Number one, it communicates your love. You just don't have anybody over into your home, do you? When you invite people into your home, guess what? There's a sense of, boy, this, I must be important. They must love me. Communicates acceptance. You know, we think that just teenagers pray for acceptance. Well, we all do. We all want to be accepted. Sitting in your home sets an atmosphere for growth, intimacy, warmth, fellowship, development. But the other family that was saved and baptized about 6-8 months ago, I just saw their eyes just really just getting big and enjoying what was taking place there. And I just saw in their life how the light kind of went on. So having people in your home is such a key in seeing that development take place, that maturity take place in their heart. Letter C. Keep a healthy balance between friendship and leadership. That's a hard one. That's really hard. You want to be everyone's friend, and we ought to. A friend is somebody you can count on, someone that's going to tell you the truth. Someone sometimes just to hang out, go have a cup of coffee, or maybe play basketball. But you got to be careful. Listen. You got to be careful that you don't become so close of friends that you forfeit the opportunity to lead. And this is it. This is where we cross that line. Is when we see something in their life that shouldn't be there. But we don't say anything. Because we think, well, if I say something, if I confront them, he may not like me. We need to first of all realize that we are there to lead God's people, to help them, to point them down the path of spiritual growth. A friend sticketh closer than a brother. Iron sharpeneth iron. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Teachers, we must value the students' relationship and their devotion to the Lord more than to us. We are not helping them in their development spiritually. We notice something in their life and we're silent about it. Now there's a way to do it, not maybe in a public setting. These types of arrangements and confronting takes place privately. Letter D, be present during times of joy and sorrow. Brother Chuck, raise your hand. I remember visiting Brother Chuck when he just first moved out here, I believe, from Alaska. And joined the Air Force, and I remember living in that temporary housing there at Edwards. Still had boxes there in the living room. And just, Brother Chuck, we've laughed together. We also have wept together. Been there for the joys, but also you're there for the sorrows. You want to say, when you're there for both seasons, the times of rejoicing, the times of, you know, laughing, but also the times of weeping and mourning, well, you're able to help them through. Yes, celebrate on mountaintops, but also you're helping them there while they're in the valley. Guess what? Most of the time, I don't know about you, but I grow most of the time when I'm in the valley. Well, we need to be there for our folks when they're going through it. This morning, I have a man in our class that's going through it. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, Brother Davidson preached about the pit, Psalms 40. I called him this morning at 7 o'clock in the morning. I won't use his name. I said, hey, how you doing? Where are you at? He's facing it right now. He's in a pit. Guess what? We need to help him. We need to be there. We need to help them through this process so that they would grow. So they experience that God hasn't forsaken them. Amen. That we, the church, hasn't forsaken them. Amen. There's been times, how many of you have a Christian school? There's been times when the principal would have to have one of our students dismissed from school. That's okay. It deserves to be kicked out. Now it's time to minister to that family. Amen. We don't kick them out of the church. We minister to them.
Amen.
We love them. We help them. We encourage them. I think sometimes we put an edge through people too quickly. Number four. The teacher must know the spiritual condition of his class. Know where your couples are spiritually. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. The word diligent means the effort. It gives an idea of effort, persistence, and time, and even sacrifice. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. And look well, have a sense of discernment in knowing where they're at spiritually. Let it be, ask questions that pertain to their spiritual growth. What has God taught you lately? What area in your life are you growing in right now? As a husband and wife, when was the last time you took your wife out for a date? How are you doing balancing, you know, family, church, and work? What's making your heart sing this, you know, today? What burden are you carrying? How can I help you? How can I pray for you? The typical response is this: hey, how you doing? Fine. How you doing? Good. And guess what we do? You know what we ought to do is say, hey, how you doing? Fine. Really. Come on, Joe. For whatever reason, God just placed you on my heart. I'm burdened for you. Is there something that maybe I'm off a little bit? Maybe God just wants me to pray for you just in a general way? But do you have a hurting heart like that? May I say, this is when ministry takes place. is when you're able to help people. The problem is this, is, man, what happened to the Jones family? I mean, they were here, now they're gone. You know, they're going through a trial. Don't even notice. They're gone. Boy, it's vitally important that we know the state of our flock. We know where they're at spiritually. We're asking questions so that we can discern the condition of their life and their spiritual walk with the Lord. Pastor has said this so many times. People are not where you think they are. People are not where you think they are. Number five, the teacher should always be willing to confront a wayward member. Let me give you a couple of thoughts. We have three more thoughts. Let me give it to you real quick. Number one, everyone has problems. We've heard messages about that. Number two, letter B, problems don't disappear if they are not faced head on. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you know, Paul says in verse number 10, I beseech you, brother, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. Verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, that there are contentions among you. You know what Paul was doing? He was confronting problems. I'll be honest with you. That doesn't come natural for me. I'm the encourager. I'm the, hey, how are you doing, buddy? Good to see you. That's a little bit more like me. But when there's a problem, and you know there's a problem, and then you have to confront that problem, that's an area that honestly I had to grow in. I'm still growing. Let me give you a couple. Here, letter C. Try to determine what the problem might be beforehand. Try to, you know, pray and, you know, maybe talk to, if it's a couple, talk to one of the spouses. Have maybe your spouse, your wife talk to the lady and try to get a good understanding of maybe what the problem might be and what the problem might be before you confront both of them. Letter D, remain strong in the Lord. Realize that the Lord can make a difference in our life. Letter E, go into the meeting with a strategy. Letter F, expect resistance, but respond with grace. Share biblical principles for restoration. Reassure them of love, of God's love, and the pastor's love, and your love. Reassure them. So many times people think, you know, we think they want to send this, you know, this, have this facade that everything's just perfect in their life. They have no problems. They have no struggles. They're just, you know, just perfect. And sometimes it's hard for them to be real. Because they think if they're real, then I won't be accepted, or they won't love me, or, you know, they'll put me in the back corner someplace. Boy, we have to work at this. But reassure them that God loves them, and that the pastor loves them, that you love them. When confronting people, it's so important. And may I say, it's always good to do it in those first early signals. How many have teenagers? Okay? Pastor, if you saw your teenage son or daughter, they had an attitude, and you just a little attitude change. Do you close your eyes to that? No. You take them out for a hamburger. From Chicago, hot dog, amen.
Amen.
And you sit down and just start talking to Junior. And guess what? You don't close your eyes to that as parents. We don't do that. But why would we do that with adults that are in our classes. And we need great wisdom, we need great, you know, knowledge and understanding and discernment, but we need to roll up our sleeves and we need to realize that there's a battle there.
Yeah. Amen.
The devil wants to bring that person down. And we just need to declare war on him.
Amen.
And it's vitally important that we do that. Number six, the teacher should use, we're making a big transition now, the teacher should use the church calendar for spiritual growth. Here it is. How, do we have any lay teachers in here? Lay teachers. Okay, good. All right, good. You know, a lot of times I'm like, man, we just don't have the time to do this and that. And here it is. Use your church calendar to your advantage. For example, promote the church-wide activities. Guess what? If there's going to be a revival service as an adult teacher, you're going to be there.
Amen.
Right? You're going to be there. But listen, look at maybe four or five couples that you want, I don't know if they're going to be there or not. Just, hey, would you guys sit with us? You're going to be there, so you, what you want to do is just bring someone along with you. So, you know, we have next prayer. Guess what? Invite somebody to pray with you. You know, there might be a work night. Guess what? Invite somebody to come out. This last Saturday, we had a work night, kind of wrapping everything up, so I called a couple guys from my class. Hey, man, you want to come out and help? So we worked about 10:30 Saturday night. And, you know, there's great fellowship with those men. There was some bonding that was taking place. We got some things accomplished. But guess what? I was able to spend time with them. I was able to get some work done on the facilities here. But we had a great time doing it. We were serving the Lord together. Because I was going to be here. So why didn't I think, okay, I'm going to bring a couple guys with me. And may I say, listen, this is what's amazing. The people in your classes, they want to serve with you. They would love just to come alongside of you and do something with you. You say, well, you know what we did? We got a big water truck and we sprayed the parking lot. Well, guess what? They love doing it. And I love doing it because I was able to do it with them. You know what I said? The people sitting in your class, they would enjoy spending a couple hours with you just serving the Lord in that way. So you want to promote these, you want to participate in these events, and then you want to partner with those in your class during these times. Now, I tell you what, if you do that, there's a lot of things that you'll do just because it's on a calendar. Just have someone, have your folks in your class to come along with you. Number seven. The teacher must communicate important content to the pastor. And here it is. Sometimes I want to communicate some good news. I want to share some of that with pastor. Hey, pastor, this is what's going on in this family's life. I want to share the good news. Number two, I want to communicate needs. Notice, I just don't want to say, well, you know, Jones family, they, you know, he's out of work. Or the Jones family, Mr. Jones is in the hospital. No, I want to say, pastor, Mr. Jones is in the hospital, but we got meals going over through the house for 3 days. Once you know, we got that covered. So I'm not just giving him more burdens. I'm telling him about a burden, but I'm telling him how we're meeting that burden. Does that make sense? And so it's, you know, you want to communicate good news. You want to communicate needs. You want to communicate changed tendencies. You want to say, pastor, there's a family I'm burdened about. And boy, I've talked to them, but I'm just not maybe getting through. Or maybe they're not being honest or what. But I want you to be aware of this. A lot of times, you know what, I'm aware of it already. And there's some vital things going on that we just can't share with you yet. Might be something like that. But you want to communicate that. And because they're, guess what, I'm just an extension of Pastor Chapel. Even though they're sitting in my class, I'm just an extension of him. And so we need to communicate those changed tendencies. And number four, it says, communicate times during major decisions. A job loss, a death, a very severe illness, maybe a job transfer. Those types of major changes. In an adult class, you want to make sure that you're communicating that as an adult leader, as an adult teacher. And so these are, you know, seven different principles that I believe will help a class to grow to spiritual maturity. I know one thing, our class is not perfect, but I tell you what, we got some couples that are really growing, and it's a great joy to serve along with them. And these are principles that I've used and that I've learned and for the last 20 years, and I tell you what, I pray that God will use, Lord, allow you to use them in people's lives. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for loving us. Lord, I pray that you bless our delegates, Lord. We're so humbled by their presence and their sacrifice and being here. And I pray, Lord, that their time with us would not be not beneficial for them and for the cause of Christ. I pray that their hearts would be rekindled. I pray that they would be sharpened, better equipped. I pray that they would leave with saying, man, we can do that. And I pray, Lord, that you just would continue to work and build throughout this conference. We'll thank you and praise you for your goodness now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Thank you.